The Good News Hour is with you once again, and your speaker at this time is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and we're going to go over a few things that are most surely believed among us. Sometimes, you know, we are asked exactly, what do you believe? And we think it's very important, too, that we should make a clear statement as to what we believe, and then we're glad to tell you, too, that we can say not only what we believe, but whom we believe. You know, the Apostle Paul, in writing a letter to his son Timothy in the faith, he talked to him about salvation. He said in verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now that's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. However, what I was thinking about now in connection with what we expect to speak to you on in the next few minutes is found in verse 12, for the apostle there says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You know, all our hopes in time and for all eternity are centered in a person. And it's very interesting, too, to notice in this clear statement that the Apostle Paul gives in writing to his son Timothy, you see, it's a personal testimony. He says, "I know whom I have believed." And he didn't say, "I know in whom I have believed." He wouldn't even so much as permit a little preposition to come in between himself and the lover of his soul, the Savior of his soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You see, he believed and counted upon the ability of God to perform the pledge and the promise that he had made. And so Paul confidently commits the keeping of his soul into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, a trust, as it were. And he expected the Lord to make good for us. He said, "He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, shall we read, please, just for a moment, in the Gospel by St. Luke, chapter 1. And we shall read together, beginning at verse 1, which says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth and in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Now, friends, there are certain things that you sometimes hear and you accept with a grain of salt. You say, "Well, I just wouldn't exactly like to put too much confidence in that. I feel rather doubtful as to whether or not it is really authentic. And so I'm hesitant in accepting it." But you know, when it comes to the Word of God, you can say, as did Luke here in his introduction to this marvelous gospel, and he says, "The things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. You know, there's something about the salvation of God. There's something about those precious truths that are communicated to us. You know, someone has said, if you have a good thing, well, just push it along or pass it on. And this is certainly characteristic of true Christianity. You can think of men who have voluntarily laid down their lives, have gladly laid down their lives for the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of real love that others too might know what they possessed. And I think this is true of most Christians. You see, if you have something that you can keep to yourself, then you better just keep it. We say that we have something that we just cannot possibly keep to ourselves. It's too good to keep. And we want everybody to share in it and everybody to know it and everybody surely to enjoy it. And if it were not possible, we would not be coming to you from day to day with these messages from the Word of God. It isn't something that you can hope that someday you might possess, and if you're fortunate enough, it might become yours. No, no, no. But what we have and what the Word of God has for you is something that you can know, that you can be in possession of right at this very moment. Now, says someone, would you mind giving us a statement of the things that are most surely believed among you? Well, I could tell you perhaps a few of them today, not very many, but I could tell you a few things. And listen, there's one thing if I were to concentrate on, and if it became your knowledge today, you'd be the happiest man, the happiest woman, the happiest boy or girl in the entire world. Oh, says someone, then I'd like to hear it, I'd like to know it, and better still, I'd like to possess it. Now, the things that are certainly most surely believed among us would be, we could enumerate a number of them, we believe in the forgiveness of sins, and forgiveness of sins may be yours, and it does not come via the church, no, no, it does not come through baptism, it does not come by reformation or making pledges or promises to God. Salvation and the forgiveness of your sins come instantaneously the moment you are introduced to, the moment you become acquainted with the one Paul could speak so highly of, namely our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so he said on another occasion, in Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the man Christ Jesus, is preached unto you or proclaimed unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, that comes to a person, I know it, friends, and again we stress, it does not come through the church, it doesn't come through baptism, it doesn't come by making pledges and promises to God. It comes through a person. And that person, Paul tells us, is the Lord Jesus. Now I shall go over the verse once again, and you listen to it carefully and check it and read it for yourself. Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Christ Jesus has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, I don't know where you could find a more simple, a plain, and a more precious statement than what we have just repeated in your hearing. And if you're a burdened heart, if you're in distress about your sins and about where you're going to spend your eternity, if you open the heart's door and receive the Son of God, the Savior, as your Savior, committed the keeping of your soul to him, received him as the one that died for your sins, you'd begin with forgiveness of sin. Now I should like to point out to you something else that is most surely believed among us. We certainly believe that men and women who trust Christ are forgiven sinners. We believe, according to God's precious word, and we most surely believe it, that all who trust him are redeemed. All who trust him are in possession of everlasting life. But this is something now I want you all to see, that all who take Christ as personal Savior, they most surely know right here and now that they have eternal life. Now, I'm going to read with you, please, a verse that's found in the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and in the opening verses of that chapter. In fact, it's the great resurrection chapter. But he begins by giving us a clear statement of the gospel, which says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory the things which I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, listen to this. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now he has a great deal to say about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and also about the resurrection. Christ seems to be the theme in this wonderful chapter. But there's something, however, that I want to pass on to you, and I want you to see it too. You see, the apostle, in giving us this message, says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now, this is the verse I want you to notice. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, let me ask you today, in which category do you belong? Do you belong amongst those who could say, I know whom I have believed. I know that I have passed from death unto life. I know that my sins are forgiven upon the authority of God's precious holy word. And it's by having contacted his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my own personal Savior. Or do you belong in this catalog, the majority group, those who say, well, I think I have eternal life. I hope I have eternal life. Of course, I wouldn't want to be too sure. Well, we would like to tell you upon the authority of God's precious word that he gives nothing less than definite assurance. He gives nothing less than eternal life to all who trust his Son. Receive him today as your own personal Savior, and you would pass out of death into life and be on your way to glory. Now, we'd like to get a line from you. This address will reach us. You drop a line, Good News Hour, to the station that you're listening to, or 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.